Well, hello. This is Jeff Gaudiosi, and you are on MisplacedStraws.com, where music comes to life. And I have a really special guest today. He's one of the most influential guitar players in rock history, and he just put out a unique double record celebrating 50 years of his band Jethro Tull. It's an honor to welcome Mr. Martin Barr. Welcome, Martin.
Hi, Jeff. Nice to be here.
So 50 years is pretty amazing. You came in shortly after the release of the debut record, this was. Did you see it as just taking a gig, or did you have a feeling that that partnership could lead to something special?
I definitely didn't have any aspirations as to where we would go, but it was an amazing event for me because I was a blues guitar, well, I wasn't a guitar player, and I played blues flute. So when I heard about Jethro Tull, and then eventually went to see them play, that they were, it was my dream gig. It was everything I'd ever wanted in music. So to join the band, I mean, 3 months later after I saw them, was really incredible. I think if it had have lasted a year and finished, I would have been very, very happy. Not happy that it finished, but it would have still been a special event in my life. So no, we never looked past the next few weeks, the next month, the next album. It all snowballed, and it started quite controlled and slowly, and then as we traveled, came to the States, and then went to other countries in Europe and the Far East, it just went crazy. And nobody knew where it was going or when it was going to end.
And, you know, let's talk about this new record. It's something called 50 Years of Jethro Tull, but it's pretty unique. You know, the first disc is you and your band playing electric and pretty heavy live in the studio, while the second disc is more acoustic-based. Now, the songs, it's not necessarily a greatest hits record. How did you decide which tracks you wanted for this record?
It's pretty well our stage set, and the stage set was sort of carefully put into place, you know, after quite a few years of playing different tracks. I mean, our Simbar band has now been around 8 years or so. I don't even know. But we've got a huge catalogue. I mean, Jethro Tull's got a big catalogue. But I think, you know, over those 8 years, we've played a lot of different songs. And I've enjoyed playing them all. So it's sort of the best of the songs that I like. And I've chosen to play live and tracks that have worked really well in front of an audience, and they're dynamic and powerful. So it is a best of, but it's definitely not a best of, you know, the greatest hits, because I've always looked for something a bit unusual.
And do you feel a bit more freedom, you know, when you go out and play with the Martin Barr band, do you feel a bit more freedom to get into some of those deeper tracks than if it was under the Jethro Tull name?
Oh, definitely. Because the sort of workings of Jethro Tull changed over the years. You know, it started in 68, 69, very much with Ian being in the driving seat and sort of formulating our part in the band. And then through Thick as a Brick, it was a very much an equal partnership. Everybody more or less had an equal part to play in the writing and arranging and the performance, the shows and the decisions that were made. And then in the sort of early 2000s, it was back to me and Ian that had pretty well most of the control. And then as I think Ian, you know, had a few issues with the voice, he went back to being very particular about what he could and couldn't do and what he wanted to do. So I was sort of a little bit nudged out of the main arena, so to speak. So, because a long story short, being where I am now is heaven on earth, because I know the catalogue so well. I know Jethro Tull music so well. And sort of very passionate about it. So to be able to have control's the wrong word, but I like to have a lot to do, so I relish all those parts that I have to play in being in a band.
And tell me about the band you have now. What members are in the band with you?
It's changed a bit over the 8 years. Mm-hmm. The vocalist, Dan Crisp, has been with me the longest, and Dan was really the sort of beginning of the band that really made sense and gelled together, because mm-hmm. Dan's voice and his interpretation of Toll songs and the way he sings my songs is just really, really important parts of everything. So it's Dan Crisp on guitar and vocals, and Dan's a great guitar player as well. Alan Thompson plays bass, and he was with John Martin and John Jorgensen, sort of Pentangle. Has a sort of very long, varied musical career, an incredible musician, plays acoustic guitar as well. And then Darby Todd, again, has played with so many different rock bands and genres of music, but I met him through Alan, and he played with Carl Verheyen in his band. Darby's been with us for, I think, nearly 3 years now. He's just an incredible drummer, you know, just brings power and dynamics, and he sort of brings rock and roll into the band, and I quite like that element.
It's always a good thing.
Yeah, you need that. You need that dynamo. Running everything.
And you mentioned Dan's vocals, which are just fantastic on this material.
Yeah.
And you also have some female vocals, Becca Langsford and Alex Hart on the softer acoustic material, which is just brilliant. And I like that with the use of all of those singers, you didn't try to do the tribute band sound alike thing that we see so many people doing. Was it important to kind of use new arrangements and sounds to make these songs fresh?
Well, I wanted somebody who bought the CD to think they'd bought something that a lot of work, thought, and effort had gone into it. You know, I think the worst thing in the world is to have an anniversary, and you know that there's a 20th anniversary tour for somebody, and they just put a bunch of old songs together with a new packaging, they go out on the road calling it a 20th anniversary big tour, but it's essentially the same stuff. I think that's awful. So I wanted to be the opposite end of that. The girls come out on the road with us and do backing vocals, and they sing those acoustic songs live. So that they're all part of the band. And it was important to me because they mean a lot to me. You know that they're people that I'm involved with here at home musically, and you know they've got their own careers, but we do a lot together. And it was just nice for me to have people involved that are really important to my life and my musical thoughts and practices.
Well, you know, we talked about kind of the arrangements of these songs that make them sound fresh, and that's sort of been your main talent and contribution to the band over the years. Ian always got the majority of the songwriting credits, but that arrangement and creative process is really where you thrive.
Yeah, I don't think I was aware of it, but I guess by default, that was my job. I think, once Ian had written the songs, he gave everybody a lot of freedom. And I just don't know why. You know, it's not an ego thing. It's not a power thing. But any band I play in, I want to start doing arrangements. I just love it. You know, in the old days, I did all the sax arrangement before I was in Tull. I do all the vocal harmonies in the band now. It's just so much fun. It just comes to me. I wouldn't say it's natural, but I have so much enjoyment in satisfaction from doing it. It's a labor of love, and I wouldn't give any of it away. I would fight for it, you know. I'm not going to give anybody else. I think because he traditionally always had an instrumental that I played in the Toll show, and I changed them pretty well every tour. Mm-hmm. So that got me into writing and arranging. I guess I'm a late starter as a songwriter, but then, you know, hopefully there's an element of freshness in what I do that shows that, again, I really enjoy the challenge of writing songs.
Well, and it's funny, hearing you talk about that now, it's really cool as a fan to hear you still be so excited about music and creating it at this point in your career as you've ever been. So as a fan, that's always a really good thing to hear, you know, that you still enjoy doing it.
Yeah, I couldn't do it any other way. I'm not a faker, you know. I'm not an actor, and the thought of being on stage and not loving it, just going through the motions, is abhorrent to me. It's not my world, and maybe I'm lucky that I still thrive being in the middle of all this music. But the rewards are so huge. You know, I don't give it a second thought. Yeah. It's what I do, and I do it because I love doing it.
And there have been so many great musicians that have been in and out of Jethro Tull over the course of this 50 years. But what is it about your partnership with Ian that kept you two together through all of the changes?
I never analysed it. You know, it might be dangerous to do it because, you know, if they like that aspect of you, but not that one, it would change the way you were. You just try and avoid the negative part. I guess, you know, we had the same sort of vision musically. You know, the similar tastes in music, and the attitude probably. And dedication maybe would be the things we have in common, but I was never aware of them, and I've analysed them. I think me and Ian have always done what we do, whatever, and if it works, it's fantastic. If people don't like what we do, or it doesn't work with somebody else, then that's the end of it. We flexible, but not in the way we approach our jobs.
Well, and it's funny, kind of building on that a bit, I mean, probably more than any other band, Tull was famously able to change styles, you know, from folk to rock to synth to classical. Was that part of that flexibility of it just was where the song took you, or was it a conscious thing to say, yeah, let's do something completely different this record?
Yeah, it was never preconceived. And a lot of the times, people like Dave Pegg brought folk influences into the band. Peter Patesi brought jazz influences, or fusion, jazz fusion. And then D. Palmer, brought classical music to our attention. I think all these influences were always welcomed because this flexibility that I'm talking about is just being very much open-minded. And that meant that we just, wherever music took us, we went with it and made the best of it and enjoyed the changes and the challenges, and certainly all these styles of music that bring a different challenge to the player and to the music writer. So we always really had a lot of fun doing what we did, but we never consciously thought we had to change to keep people's interest. We just did it because that's the way we were. But certainly the people who join the band here and there brought something to the table.
Yeah, and then around 2011 or so, it seems as though things just kind of ended for the band. There was really no fanfare or farewell tour. What kind of brought about the decision that, yeah, that's the end? And do you have a relationship with Ian today?
Well, Ian, it was Ian's decision because when in that year, I can't remember the gig. We were in America, and me, Don, and Ian sat in a room to talk. Ian asked us, and then he dropped that bombshell that he didn't want to play Jethro Tull. He didn't want to do Jethro Tull concerts. He'd had enough, and me and Don were just speechless, really, because I think Ian has always been a very careful, planned out person. He knows exactly what he wants and what he's going to do. And in the back of my mind, I thought that, you know, this isn't something he's done on the spur of the moment, and he'd really thought through it. But, you know, it was a very abrupt ending for me and Don.
Mm-hmm.
And but it, you know, in a way, it shook me up because I think Tull were getting a very lethargic band. You know, the sets were becoming very much the same every tour. Mm-hmm. Nobody wanted any change. I mean, I always try to get changes within the group and ideas and production and lineup, but there was no interest in doing it. So it was a timely occurrence, but it certainly wasn't of my doing and of Don's. Essentially, it's all about people management, and some people are good at it and other people aren't. Yeah. But it was upsetting. I always tell people it's probably the worst decision that Ian's ever made in his life. And whether he thinks that or not, I'll never know. But, you know, I look at all the other bands touring and, you know, with their original lineups all near enough, and people love to see them and hear them, and they will never ever see or hear Jethro Tull in the same respect.
Were you surprised not to be contacted for some type of 50th anniversary celebration?
No, I wasn't surprised. Ian tended to shrug off things like that. We did one big party, 20th anniversary in London. We had all everybody who'd been in Tull, all the crew, all the managers. It was just a great party.
Yeah.
Met old friends.
Yeah.
And but Ian sort of avoided that. I think he sort of was in a bit of inverted snobbery. thinking, well, you know, it's 40 years, but so what, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, you know, year 41 is as important as year 40. It's just a number. But the number 50, as it was coming up, I thought, you know what, that's really important to me. And I'm in a position that I can do something about it to acknowledge it and celebrate it. And I just think it's a rare event. But particularly because Tull never finished, they never stopped working. We worked every one of those 50 years.
Yeah.
Unlike a lot of other bands, you know, took a couple of years off here and there. So it was, I felt a need and a wish to do something special for it.
And for fans here in America, it's pretty inconceivable that Jethro Tull is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I've talked to a lot of British artists, and the honor doesn't seem to hold the same esteem as it does over here. What are your thoughts on the band not being in the Rock Hall?
I've been asked this many times, and I think it's the thing with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that Martin Barr Band have played in Cleveland two or three times, and they ask us along VIP tour there. They're so gracious nice people, really interesting. It's a great place. I'm absolutely enthralled by it. And we never, ever, ever mention the induction, which is quite nice because, you know, it's a separate issue. And, you know, I wish them well. It's a great institution. And whatever they do is their business. You know, I don't own a place in there. It's important. Yes, it's not. You know, it's nothing I can control. And I mean, now the difficulty is there isn't a Jethro Tull, and I don't know how the mechanics of it would work. But I'm talking to you, and that gives some importance to my work and what I do, and that is nice for me, and I don't ask for a lot more.
If it ever were to happen, would you guys, do you foresee that being an occasion for you and Ian and, you know, Doan and some of the, you know, regulars of the band to get together and play one last time?
There lies the problem.
Well, we can dream, that's for sure.
Well, I don't want to be a part of. I don't know. It'd be very, very difficult for me.
Yeah.
I think the main thing for me is that that my band have given so much to me and for me and for Jethro Tull's music that whatever happened or didn't happen, that in my mind that they would have to be part of it because I think it'd be a very ignorant gesture to turn my back on them. In any way at all, because they're just part of my, I think the biggest part of my musical career.
Well, and again, the record is called 50 Years of Jethro Tull. It's available on streaming services. There's physical product available as well. And I've been lucky enough to spend some time here talking with Martin Barr. Martin, thank you so much for doing this. Best of luck with this record, and hopefully when the world clears up again, we can catch you and your band on the road again.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to plug my DVD.
Of course.
Live at Edwardsville from May last year. And it's the Tull set 50-year celebration. Not the same songs, but some of the same songs on the CD. But I've spent a lot of time making a really nice presentation, so it'll be my Christmas release without the carols. But that's the next thing. So people who can't see us play live for now, can watch it on DVD. Turn the volume up.
And before I let you go, the one last thing I do have to mention, though, and I thought of it as you talked about the Christmas season coming up. I'm a huge fan of Christmas music, and the last actual Jethro Tull record was your amazing Christmas record, which is one of my favorites. I mean, play it constantly during the season. Would love to see the Martin Barr Band go out and tour the Christmas record some year. So just throwing that out there.
Well, the Jethro Tull Christmas record.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
So just put that out there for the future.
I'm taking the fifth on that.
Oh,
I play Winter Snowscape. We play that when we do a duty. I'll stand by that one anyway.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, and I love Christmas.
Thank you so much. Again, 50 Years of Jethro Tull is out now. The DVD is on its way. Highly recommend both of them. The band sounds great. Your playing is just on fire. Best of luck, and thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Jeff. Nice to talk to you.
We'll talk again soon. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Take care.
You too.
Thank you.